Welcome, welcome, welcome on board the random ship for this, our 51st voyage. I am the captain on this weekly journey, Holt, and with me as always is my first mate and my brother, Alan.
You sauce.
What language is that?
Greek, but I don't know if my accent is perfect or not.
Just assume it is. Just go with it. No one will tell you otherwise.
Hopefully not.
So for those of you who don't know, what we do is we take 25 to 30 minutes every single week, and we wander the waters of the weird. Yes, the oceans of the obscure, the rivers of the random.
And if you make it to the end of the episode, you'll be rewarded with your weekly ship fact.
So, Alan, did you enjoy your week off?
I did. It flew by much faster than I thought it would.
Did you like that I made the bonus episode all about you? See?
I don't like listening to myself that much. But hopefully other people do.
You know what stood out to me when editing that? Was your, like, big contribution to every episode, like, that you research and blah, blah, is the ship fact. Yet it worked out to, like, 30 seconds of each episode.
You're welcome.
I give you so little mic time that you get, like, less than half. You get, like, half a minute.
It's just how I like it.
Anyway, I didn't do too much this week, Alan. I told everyone a couple weeks back that we got snow here. Well, we got snow again, and I don't know if it's here to stay. The one a couple weeks ago kind of left really quickly, but we got, I'd call it a skiff. We got a skiff of snow.
Is that a measurement of snow?
Yes, it's an exact measurement. One skiff.
One skiff. Got it.
But it hasn't gotten warm enough yet for it to melt, and it's been about 10 days, so I am...
Oh, so you still have one skiff of snow.
I still have one skiff of snow, so I'm not excited about it. That's really all that happened with me on our week off, Alan, other than my beef of the week. I do have a beef of the week, if you have nothing that you want to talk about.
Not really. I just, all of the snow we had, we did get warm enough for it to melt, so... It's been 2 weeks, and there's been no snow.
That's what you get for being 9 hours south.
Yep, that's the goal. Be much south of you.
As far south as I can go without being in the United States. Almost, that's almost true.
That's, yep.
Well, my beef of the week this week, Alan, may be controversial.
Okay.
It is with my lovely wife.
Oh, well, luckily she doesn't listen to the podcast.
She does not. She's not a Holt fan.
Is that your beef?
No, I know she loves me, so she doesn't need to be a fan of me. But, I mean, maybe it was just I jinxed myself. My beef is with her, but kind of just, you'll see. So, I do the grocery shopping for the family every Saturday, and then once a month, she goes and does the Costco shop and gets everything in bulk that we need.
Makes sense.
Well, usually, my weekly shop includes, when needed, our 3-ply toilet paper.
Okay.
Right? I made the mistake of, not even a mistake, I had no idea that we were almost out of toilet paper when I went shopping this past week. So when she happened to do her Costco shop, she came home with 2-ply toilet paper.
Oh, I already know where this is going.
First of all, it like falls apart in my hands. I know we've talked about this before. It is not pleasant. I have a very coddled bum, and it does not enjoy the 2-ply toilet paper. And because it was Costco, I have like 52 rolls of it.
Like, you're stuck with that for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I have like years of this left. Like, I may die before I get rid of the 2-ply.
See, that's probably... You know how they have the weird toilet paper math? That's like one roll equals half a normal roll.
No, true, but also they're ginormous rolls. Because like it's not even like you get more rolls in the Costco bundle. The Costco rolls are like twice the size of a normal roll. So really it's like 100 rolls of toilet paper before I get to enjoy the comfort of 3-ply again.
Well, you just have to fold it over, and then, like, if you fold it in half, that's basically 4-ply.
It's still not as comfortable. You can tell the quality is not there. Before, it was like using a cushion. Now, it's like using sandpaper.
That is a drastic drop in quality based off the single ply. I would be terrified to hear what 1-ply is.
She was not as concerned as I was about the lack of ply.
Well, that's not surprising.
She said, well, I guess we have to go through this now. She does not care about my bum at all.
She should. That's the failure on her part as a wife, honestly.
That is where she drops the ball. Every other part of being a wife, amazing. Toilet paper, terrible. Well, Alan, you know what else is sometimes terrible? History. So why don't we look back at what happened this day, November 17th, in history. We start our journey through history, Alan, in 887, where Emperor Charles the Fat is deposed by the Frankish magnates in an assembly in Frankfurt. His nephew, Arnulf of Carinthia, is elected as king of the East Frankish kingdom.
It's weird that this guy's name is the Fat.
Yeah, that's why I picked this one. Just specifically because I was like, I bet you this guy was terrible because his name was Charles the Fat.
He has no redeeming qualities. He's the fat one.
He's the fat one. Well, apparently, the reason he was deposed was because throughout his reign, he became increasingly seen as spineless and incompetent.
Oh, that's reasonable.
And this all came to a head in 887, when he accused his wife, Richgard, of having an affair with his chief minister and arch-chancellor, Leetward, Bishop of Vercelli.
I feel like most of these people, like, almost have real names. Arnulf, Richgard.
Also, Richgard may be the least sexy female name ever. Oh, hey, baby, what's your name? Richgard! I am married to Charles the Fat. I am Richgard Fat.
Unfortunate last name.
An interesting thing about Richgard is she proved her innocence of the affair in an ordeal of the fire and left him for a monastic life. So she literally left him to become like a nun or a monk or something like that. Like she's like, I would rather never have sex with anyone again than have sex with Charles the Fat again.
Wait, did you say a trial by fire?
An ordeal by fire.
What does that mean? That sounds awesome.
I'm glad you asked. The ordeal by fire is typically required that the accused walk a certain distance over red-hot plowshares or while holding a red-hot iron. So they say typically it was 3 to 6 paces. You'd have to hold like this, either walk on hot coals or like hold a red hot iron out of the furnace while you walk. And they proved your innocence by showing a lack of injury. So either you could show that you didn't get injured at all, or the priest would come visit you 3 days later. And if you had healed, he would say, God has declared you innocent.
Oh, so basically, Mr. the Fat accused Richgard of cheating, and she said, let me walk on those coals and I'll show you lying. Yeah. And then she did, and they're like, oh, well, she didn't get burned, so she was clearly not sleeping with that other guy, and now she's run off to become a nun.
Yeah, well, what's crazy is, you know how in basketball, when you're like playing pickup, and someone gets a foul, and you don't know if it's a foul, and then they miss the first free throw. It's like, ball don't lie. Ball don't lie. Could you imagine if instead it was like, hey, that's not a foul. I didn't foul him. Well, here's your red hot rod. Walk to the foul line, and if you have no injury,
you get your shot.
It's not a foul, and he doesn't get the free throws. That would make NBA games even more interesting. So getting back to Charles the Fat, you know what's funny? So not only did he lose his wife and that caused him to be like, this guy sucks. Like, let's get rid of him. He received word on November 11th that Arnulf was coming to try to take his position. And 6 days later, November 17th, Arnulf had gained the position. Very little is known about how he gained the position. But it is the little that is known. Basically, Charles the Fat just said, okay, and gave up.
I'm coming to take your throne. Oh, well, I see you have arrived to take my throne. Here it is.
Here it is. And so he took it. That's which makes me think the accusation of him being incompetent and spineless was accurate. Moving forward, Alan, 923 years, We find ourselves in Stockholm, Sweden, where Sweden declares war on its ally, the United Kingdom, to begin the Anglo-Swedish War, although no fighting ever took place.
Hmm.
This is a bloodless war.
Apparently. Is it even a war at all?
So basically what happened is, for some reason, Sweden, a couple years previously, went to war with, like, Russia and France, and they lost those wars. So they had to sign the Treaty of Paris, in which those countries forced Sweden to take part in, it is called the Continental System, which was basically mainland Europe saying, we're not trading with England because they're too powerful and we hate them.
Fair enough.
But Sweden, most of its economy was driven by trade with England. So they kept trading with England. And when the France and Russia found out about it, they basically said, gave him an ultimatum and said, you have to declare war on England. So they did it that day, but never actually enforced it. They signed like the official paper that says like, we're at war with you, but they, for their economy, they still allowed it to keep going. Like there was still very visible United Kingdom ships, like in harbor trading with Sweden.
So is this war still going on then? When did this end?
I did not look that up, but it did end.
There's been a secret war brewing for 200 years.
Well, didn't we learn about another bloodless, was it the Whiskey War, where apparently we as Canadians are at war with Denmark? Wasn't that what it was?
Oh, yeah, but that's not like a real war, I don't think.
No, well, neither really was this.
Yeah, but I don't even think we signed the paper.
True. I don't think so. Moving forward 48 years, Alan, the city of Denver, Colorado is founded.
Oh, you love Denver.
I used to love Denver because Carmelo Anthony, my favorite basketball player of all time, played in Denver. I didn't love Denver because I'm like, ooh, Denver.
You love mountains.
I do love mountains. That is true. Speaking of Carmelo, Alan, I thought it'd be nice to give you a little quiz. I would give you the names of the five Denver-based sports teams, and you tell me which sport they play.
Okay, this could go terribly.
We will start easily with the Nuggets. What, the Denver Nuggets, what do they
basketball
play, Alan? Yes, you know that. Okay, the Colorado Avalanche, what do they play, Alan?
Hockey.
Okay, 2 for 2. I thought that one may actually trip you up. The Colorado Rockies, what do they play?
Baseball?
That is true, and ironically, Colorado's first hockey team was also called the Colorado Rockies, and they are now the New Jersey Devils.
Oh, you're trying to trick me.
Two more, Alan. I am. Two more. The Denver Broncos.
Football, obviously.
Football? There you go. Can you go 5 for 5? The Colorado Rapids.
Well, the only other sport I can think of is soccer, so I'm just going to go with soccer.
5 for 5?
Yeah!
Look at you. I did not think you would get that. I thought the baseball and the soccer, you may flip-flop.
I think if you had done them in a different order, I might have.
Denver, Alan, is the 19th most populous city in the United States, and in 2016, it was named the best city in the USA to live by U.S. News and World Report. So, good on you, Denver.
Yeah, way to go.
Now we're moving ahead 9 years, Alan, to 1869, and the Suez Canal linking the Mediterranean Sea with the Red Sea is inaugurated.
Oh.
I don't have many facts about how long it took to make and blah, blah. I just thought, because we talked so much about Suez Canal over the past year, because, you know, everything got stuck in it, that it's interesting that on this day it was christened, I guess.
Okay. So it was, I guess if you have no facts about it, there's not really anything I can ask.
No.
Were there ships going through it before it was inaugurated, or were they like, was there like a hard, nobody can come in until this has happened?
My quick Wikipedia did not say, but I just literally looked for the opening date, and it was this day. Now we flash forward 84 years, Alan, to 1953. The remaining human inhabitants of the Blasket Islands in Kerry, Ireland are evacuated to the mainland.
Why were they evacuated?
Well, this made me do a deep dive. So basically, the Kerry Islands were islands off the coast, or are islands off the coast of Ireland, that at its peak had a total population of 175.
Oh, many people.
By 1953, the population had declined to 22.
Okay.
So the government evacuated all the remaining residents on this day in 1953 because increasingly extreme weather left the island cut off from essential services and emergency services. So basically the weather in the ocean was getting more rough. Thanks, global warming. So so they couldn't live there anymore. But you can still day trip to the Blasket Islands if you would like.
As long as you are, it's when the weather's okay.
Yes. Now we flash forward 15 years, Alan, to 1968, and viewers of the Oakland Raiders New York Jets football game in the eastern U.S. are denied the opportunity to watch its exciting finish when NBC broadcasts Heidi instead. This doesn't sound like much at first.
I don't know what that, like, I mean, what's Heidi?
It was like a TV movie or a TV show or something, but essentially, Oakland scored 2 touchdowns in the final minute to win the game, and people were just super mad, as was the NFL, because at the time, sports wasn't like the be-all, end-all. It was like, well, sports had 2.5 hours, and they didn't use it, so on to, like, Big Bang Theory or whatever like the show was that was supposed to be on afterwards. So the NFL negotiated going forward, as did all the other sports leagues, that you had to wait for the show to completely, the game to finish before you changed, took it off the air.
Oh, and that's why they just run super long and shows will start halfway through.
Yes, which is also funny because 7 years later, after this change was made, on November 23rd, 1975, NBC had put all this promotion behind the TV premiere of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Okay.
And it was supposed to start at 7 o'clock, but the football game rang really long. And now the opposite happened, where instead of a bunch of sports fans being pissed off that they couldn't watch the end of the game, a bunch of parents called and sent letters super pissed off because their kids had been looking forward to it for weeks.
You just can't win.
And finally, Alan, we move forward 18 years to 1986. The flight crew of Japan Airlines Flight 1628 are involved in a UFO sighting while flying over Alaska.
Wow. I feel like that's a big deal.
Apparently. I always find the UFO sighting thing weird that like 90% of them happen in the States.
But this was a Japan Airlines flight.
Flying over Alaska.
So do you think there was somebody in Alaska pretending to be a UFO?
It says, the crew first witnessed 2 unidentified objects to their left. They abruptly rose from below and closed in to escort the aircraft. That's nice. Each had 2 rectangular arrays of what appeared to be glowing nozzles and thrusters. Sounds legit. Though their bodies remained obscured by darkness. Convenient. When closest, the aircraft's captain was lit up. Oh, not captain. The captain was lit up. The aircraft's cabin was lit up, and the captain could feel the heat on his face. These 2 aircraft departed, and a 3rd, much larger, disc-shaped object started trailing them.
Hmm. Definitely sounds like something the Alaskans would do.
Do you think it's legit?
I don't know. I don't really believe in aliens. Not in this sense, anyway.
With all the sightings, you think they would have, like, made contact by now?
You'd think with all the sightings, there'd be, like, more concrete evidence than none at all. I feel like with the amount of technology we have now and the amount of, like, Big Brother watching everything or whatever.
Oh,
like
a camera would have caught something.
Yeah, a camera by now would have caught a clear picture of something.
Well, Alan, let's check out what happened in the news this week. First up, Alan, we have a Canadian news story from Canadian website Global News. Moose loose in Saskatoon Elementary School building.
Seemed to be struggling a little bit with all the double O's.
I did. Well, what's funny is this is exactly what it says it is. A moose ended up in an elementary school. How it got in there is the strange part. It ran through a glass window. I feel like this paints us in a weird light as Canadians. Like, we have moose just, like, walking down the street, and they're like, ooh, I see something I like in that school, and, like, run into the window. It's like, moose are not, you have to usually go into the woods to see moose. Like, it's
well,
not,
I mean, that's, yes, but at the same time, I went to one of my friend's house the other night, and walking from my car to his front door, 2 deer walked out from behind his house and, like, stared me down before running away. He lives downtown.
That's true. I did have that one time where a bear, I was driving at like 2 a.m. and a bear came onto the road. And so I stopped, it stared at me, pooped, and then walked off the road. I was like, well, that's weird. That's a weird, that bear has a weird fetish where he needs to stare into a human's eyes while he poops. Like,
so in reality, this isn't that unheard of to have wild animals in Canada very close to residential or school buildings.
True. That bear and I had a moment. But for anyone concerned, yes, the moose, obviously, because it ran through a glass window, did suffer injuries, but it was taken into the wild and it survived. So the moose is all good. No children were harmed. They were apparently just in there getting ready for school. But my favorite part of the whole article is the first person they interview where she's like, yeah, I saw the moose and I just said, well, I should get video of this. It's like you didn't think to possibly help the children inside or like...
Call somebody who could help.
I'll take video. It's like the kangaroo guy from a couple weeks ago. He's like, good job.
Good job with that moose. Get it out of the building.
Next up, Alan, comes from the Huffington Post. California condors can have virgin births. Interesting. Also, who cares?
Well, I mean, I know there are like... Well, obviously plants, but there are some animals and stuff that,
yeah, that can reproduce
like asexually. But I didn't know birds could do it.
Well, apparently it's not a weird thing for birds to be able to do it. Like, apparently...
Then why is this even an article?
So what makes this one different is normally birds can do this if there is no presence of a male around. What makes this one different is this is the first recorded time that males were around. There were males there ready to mate with these two lady condors. And what makes it easy to tell is apparently condors, basically before condors became endangered in the 80s, there were only 22 left in the entire world. So basically any condor born is almost entirely born in captivity. So they have records of every condor born. And so they were able to tell, wow, these birds are only related to the mom and they don't have any male DNA on record. What's interesting is both the babies were males.
Oh, see, that's even weirder because most, usually when something...
Yeah, it's a male who needs...
When it reproduces asexually, it's just an exact copy DNA-wise of the parent.
Yeah, no, this is... They were males, but they were also very sick. Condors live 60 years normally, and the first one only lived to be 2, and the other one lived to be 8. And it wasn't because they were like attacked or whatever, they were just born with sickness. So, So what are you going to do? But the thing I found funny about this is this is literally the female condors being like, you're not getting any, man. Get out of here. I don't need you. It's like, they literally, there's good men just over there, and they're like, uh-uh. What happens when our females understand this? I literally don't need you. You are a terrible person. You're an annoying man. Get away from me.
Well, I think there's a little bit of area between terrible person and annoying man, but...
Number 3 this week, Alan, comes from Sky News. Family's pet dog that killed ducks and chickens turns out to be a fox.
That seems awfully weird. Aren't foxes red? And dogs,
yeah.
Not
I mean, they have a picture.
Red.
They have a picture of it, and it doesn't look like a dog to me. Like maybe in this part of Peru, they don't have foxes. Like, and they're like, oh, that's just an interesting looking dog. To me, it's pretty clearly a fox. Also,
pretty clearly a fox.
We've had dogs in our family for like a decade, and they've never killed a chicken or a duck.
Well, that's specifically not true. They've definitely killed a chicken one time.
No. No, that dog did not kill that chicken. There's no way, because the head was completely off. It would have had to, like... It looked like it was a chicken that was... Basically, one Thanksgiving, our dog came home with a chicken corpse, I guess, that he had... And the,
plucked all the feathers
off. Yeah, the deck
off.
Was covered in these individual chicken feathers because he had spent the evening plucking the individual feathers off the chicken. But it didn't... It's not like he, like... bit the neck and it bled out. there was no head on it. So I think it was butchered and then he just grabbed it.
Well, I don't remember it that well because I don't get along well with chickens alive or dead.
I do because I stumbled upon it. I was the one who...
You didn't even live there.
But then there was the other time where the dogs found a rabbit, but they didn't kill it. They just started playing with it, and we couldn't figure out what the weird noise was in the backyard. All it was like, ee! Ee! And we looked around, and we're like, what is happening? And the husky was like throwing this bunny in the air, and then grabbing it and tossing it around, and then throwing it in the air again. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was like a squeaky toy.
We thought it was, and we're like, that's weird. We didn't know we had a squeaky toy for him. And then when we got closer, we saw that it was a bunny, and it just, like...
It played dead.
It played dead so well for, like, so 2 hours. And then we went back to check on it, and I think we, like...
Poked it with a stick
or
something? Yeah, because
we're like, is it dead? And it just, like, jumped away after 2 hours of, like, staying completely still. Which, to be fair, if a giant wolf grabbed my neck and threw me around like that... I would probably, like...
You'd probably just die, to be honest.
I feel like...
Very hardy bunny.
Yeah, that bunny was tougher than I was. But basically, yeah, this family bought a... Long story short, this family went to a pet store and accidentally bought a fox.
Well, I guess you just can't trust Peruvian animal stores. Pet stores? Pet stores.
And finally, Alan, also from Sky News, New Zealand Bird of the Year controversy after a bat is declared winner.
Does the bat identify as a bird? Because then we can't really judge it.
No, but essentially, this New Zealand organization has this Bird of the Year competition every year, and they wanted to shed a light on bats in New Zealand, but there are only 2 bats native to New Zealand. So rather than having a Bat of the Year competition, because that would be boring, they just included it in the Bird of the Year, and it won. But the hilarious part is some people take this so seriously, they took to Twitter to demand, like, a recount, and demand that the bat was, like, not included, even though it won
you
by,
know
like...
it's serious when people take it to Twitter.
It won by, like, 3,800 votes, and people are like, oh, that it should not be allowed!
We demand a recount!
And apparently this isn't the first time that this Bird of the Year thing had controversy in like 2016 or 2015. They had a bunch of suspicious votes from Russia, so much so that they had to actually do an investigation into these votes.
People care far too much about this bird competition.
People care far too much about a lot of things. Ugh, people are weird. But yeah, so a bat won. It's basically this bat that's endangered that's the size of your palm.
Good for you, Mr. Bat.
Donate to that bat conservation. Anyway, before we dock for this 51st episode, we did want to remind you, check us out on Instagram at randomshipthepodcast or hit us up on our email at randomshipthepodcast@gmail.com and tell your friends, tell your families, tell everyone you know to check out Random Ship the Podcast. Alan, what is this week's ship fact?
This week's ship fact is... Most modern cruise ships have multiple useless funnels. A funnel, which a lot of old steamships have, is used to expel smoke and fumes from the lower decks. And while these older steamships required multiple, modern ships only need one. So the extra funnels are basically just for aesthetic reasons, or for zipline suspension cables.
No, purely cosmetic. Yeah, because they usually have like 2 or 3. I know the ship I was going on, it had one at the back, and that was right beside the giant, like, it had a giant slide. It wasn't even a water slide. It was just like a giant slide.
Oh, that sounds much less fun than
that's
a giant
the allure
water slide.
Of the seas that you mentioned a bunch of times, but COVID canceled my trip on it.
That's why I've stopped mentioning it.
Thank you. You could have. The allure of the seas has 2 cosmetic.
I specifically took those words out.
And on that note, thank you so much for joining us.
And have a great week, everybody. He has no redeeming qualities. He's the fat one.